The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Let's get it on! K4 wins! He is, of course, Chief Editor of Las Vegas Sun. Right below him, Kai Gregory, who's been on both sides of gambling ledger for nearly four decades. He knows everything there is about gambling. And, of course, the man below me, he is the Howard Stern of the 2025-26 season. He's all over radio, all over television. He's got his own TV show, Starting Lineup.
With about $25 million less in my bank account.
There you go, which I'm very, very happy part of. Tomorrow we're going to have some toys on our set, which I'm really looking forward to, 10:30, as we butt up against the Missouri-Oklahoma game, and then Arkansas, Texas, and then Tennessee-Florida. Which, by the way, Tennessee-Florida, you have a bankroll pick. Let's start right there, Kip Kiefer. Who's your pick in the bankroll contest for a whole $150, Tennessee, Florida, going on this weekend?
I'm 1-3 on Florida this year. They have royally screwed me the last time I picked them at Kentucky, the worst effort by any team of the entire season. But I just feel like back in the swamp, they have to be renewed after playing Ole Miss. I mean, they played a really good game in Oxford. And I think being back at home, they will be incentivized. Tennessee's banged up. I don't think Tennessee has much to play for here. They have no realistic chance of any kind of playoff opportunity. And Kai will tell you, as a Tennessee fan, I don't know when the last time. It certainly wasn't in the Peyton Manning era, because he never beat Florida. I don't know the last time they won in the swamp. They're getting 4.5 at home. You guys always tell me my line's off like 2 points because I get it early in the week. But I just can't see Florida losing this game, because I just don't think Tennessee is 100%. They're on the road, and they never historically do well there. So I'm taking the Gators. I did have them big against my other favorite team, as you guys recall. The one time I had them right was when Texas came to town, and as we all know, Texas sucks.
Texas sucks. There you have it, Kai. Your one play was Houston, the Cougars, -1. It's up to 1.5. We're giving you one against TCU. Why?
I'll tell you this. Tennessee's won twice in the last 50 years in Gainesville.
Jeez.
So I guess, wow. Kid, it was 20 years ago when they won, in Gainesville. It was like –
it's over 25 years. Not bad.
Yeah, pretty much. And he's correct. I mean, Kitzelman, who's our best blocking and receiving tight end, is out. Peyton Bishop and Deshaun Lewis are both beat up.
Bishop's good.
At least two, if not three, starters on the defensive line are on the defense. Wayman, one of our offensive linemen, is probably out. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be rough. It'll be rough for Tennessee to win at Florida anyway. Giving up four, I would agree. I would take Florida, because it's at Florida, and Tennessee does not play well in the swamp. And even when they play well, they screw up and give up 4th-and-20s, you know, with no time left on the clock to lose by one, which is they've done twice down there in the last 15 years.
Houston, TCU.
TCU has just come unraveled. It does scare me, because I like their offense, but I just think that I like Houston at home. In this situation, I would take them all the way up to 3.
Okay. Kay, since we're going around and taking our best bet, give us one game right now that you're all over this. What's your biggest bet for the weekend?
I have about a handful that are saying this is honestly like my lowest volume college football week it's been in a while. But I guess you guys were talking about the starting lineup and what you used there. I only used one college game in my starting lineup picks, and I took Wisconsin +8, I believe. I bet it a little bit better earlier in the week, but at home against Illinois, I just think these teams are very similar. I feel like I'm repeating myself. I might have said this on Tuesday, but it's going to be slow paced. Keep it on the ground, keep the clock moving. I feel like it'll probably be low scoring. In a low scoring game, those points mean a lot more. So, yeah, and that's the one college game I used on the starting lineup. So I went with Wisconsin +8.
I'm coming with
a high of 44 with precipitation in that and windy in that game also.
Perfect.
Perfect football weather. I'm coming with a three-team parlay for the first time all year long, and I will give you
this. Yeah, the first guy who's gone a three-team bomber, Tony Curry, is breaking the mold.
I think that Oregon-USC could be like a 35-32 halftime game. Both teams love to get up and down the football field. They rank 9th and 10th, respectively, offense in almost every single category. They've been playing with the likes of Iowa, Nebraska, Northwestern, all these slow-as-shit teams. These teams like to do the three. These teams like to get up and down the football field. Both of them have very active, great quarterbacks, and I think they both just open it up. I think they're both just wheeling and dealing and ready to start slinging the football, and I think this game could be over at halftime. So I'm taking it over 59.5 as the first leg, the first winning leg of a big three-team parlay. We'll get into some more a little bit later on coming up here. Before we do this, and I've gotten several emails here, info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net. Everybody is wanting to know the line, and if you've been listening to the show, you already know, but they want to know the line on Auburn, Alabama next weekend. Obviously, this game is super important for both, more so obvious for Alabama than it is for Auburn. But Case, what is the line on that? And early on, what are your thoughts on the Iron Bowl 2025, where strange things happen down there in the plains?
Yeah, I see at two sports books here in Vegas, it's posted still the same as Tuesday, 5.5. I do see at DraftKings, which is the second biggest national sports book, not in Las Vegas, though. Alabama's up to 6.5. I haven't actually done what my number would be. I could kind of give a rough estimate, but just off the top of my head, I think I probably would have guessed right around there. I gotta think I'd probably say 6.5. It seems about right. Especially if, you know, with Auburn's offense looking a little bit better with Ashton Daniels stepping in. I know he had the one terrible game, which was kind of out of nowhere, but just I'd kind of seen enough of the Jackson Arnold experience. I think you saw enough flashes from Ashton Daniels at Stanford. It was time for him to take over. And I still hear people saying it this week, and I know Kip and I have been aligned on this. I just don't see Alabama as a juggernaut. I mean, they probably were unlucky to lose to Oklahoma. That they outplayed them definitely from a per play base on an efficiency standpoint, but they didn't deserve to win like the five games before that. They should have lost probably an average of 1.5.
At least half of them. Yeah.
The other games. So Alabama has not shown me anything that makes me think they should be a team that goes to a road game against another good team, which I still would say Auburn's a good team. Not great, but they're maybe good's not even right, just competitive, let alone just all the stakes of this game and obviously the rivalry. So there's no way I would have them over a touchdown in this game. Maybe you could talk me into 7, but 5.5, 6.5 right now to me seems about right.
But if Daniels isn't going to play quarterback, what do you adjust the line to there? If they're gonna take him out and start, you know, Jackson Arnold though for Auburn instead, if they're gonna retro him, then what would that adjust? Would that
probably be the same, would it not?
Then maybe over a touchdown. I'm really down on Arnold, so then maybe you could talk me into 7.5.
Yeah, I've been told that they're going to sit him out this week in the cupcake game, which saves his eligibility. I can't believe they can pick and choose like that, but that's right. But I had an Auburn fan strongly tell me yesterday, no, he's playing against Alabama. He's not going to play this week. They're going to play Arnold and the backup Deuce Knight, who's supposedly the future. So I don't know if that's reliable information, but from what I hear, they have every intention of starting Ashton Daniels.
Have we not seen normally when a guy's got 22 touchdowns and one pick going into last weekend, man, we're all over him. I mean, we're talking about him. He's like the Heisman Trophy guy. No one's talking about Ty Simpson. It's just really interesting to see this team has been floating around the top 10. And right now, I think they're stuffed in behind Notre Dame and the CFP. But really, no one's talking about the quarterback for the Crimson Tide. And I was sitting there at the doctor's office morning, and a guy had an Alabama thing. He's like, "Roll Tide." I had my Alabama shirt on. I just grabbed it out of the closet. It wasn't because I was gay Alabama or anything. And, of course, he wanted to start a conversation with me. And he said, "That team's going to go as far as that quarterback takes them." And I said, "Well, they've been doing that pretty well." I said, "But they got to run the football." I mean, I've never seen a team with as much success as they've had so far and so inconsistent running the football. And I think once they do that, it's going to open up the pass option and everything else for their quarterback. So we'll see what happens. But I do think if Oklahoma – and again, they had some real inopportune fumbles. They had the ball late in that game. They could have won that game against Oklahoma.
Simpson, yeah.
Yeah, and a couple of by Simpson. You're absolutely correct. And so he's been pretty good game managers for protecting the football. Listen, You said it a couple of weeks ago, Kip. They've had a horseshoe up their ass, and it just fell off onto the floor, onto a pile of dew. But they're still in it. They still had Auburn to go, and obviously that game.
They got everything in front of them still. I mean, yeah, if they handle their business in the Iron Bowl, they're going to be fine. But like I say, I think there's some things missing in this team that's going to prevent them from making a long run. But with that being said, I think it's when they get – if you get – anybody who gets in the dance, the 12 teams that get there, I think it's pretty much wide open. There's probably a couple you can eliminate right off the bat, but I think there's 7 or 8 teams that can win the national championship, and I believe that strongly right now.
There you go, and I believe it. And right now, you know, Ohio State's just kind of cruising along. They're about 30 to 35 every single game. They're getting
what a ridiculous schedule. I was looking at that this morning. I'm sorry. They're in a 5-game stretch right now of playing such juggernauts in a row. This week they play Rutgers, who it seems like they've played them 3 times already this year. They're just coming off being a 38-point favorite at UCLA. They played Purdue before that. They played moribund Penn State before that, who finally got a win last week, by the way. And they started off this sequence with Wisconsin when they were still sputtering. Their schedule is just laughable. It's pathetic.
No,
they're probably not going to cover this weekend because they're probably going to have their top 2 receivers out, and I would not be surprised at all if you know, it was 28-0 and then they did nothing in the second half and won like as a what, they're 33-point favorites, so maybe they win 31-0 or 31-3.
And the Texas win doesn't look so good now because, as we know, Texas sucks.
Hey, hold on.
I'm taking a drink every time you say Texas sucks. Yeah, I'll be drunk by the end of the show.
Chip, what do you think? I've got to know. What do you really think about Texas?
I just think they suck. You know, I've said it all year. They were so overblown. I didn't understand the hype. I knew Arch Manning was not ready for prime time, coming out of a Catholic high school 2 years ago and hadn't taken a significant snap. And also, I thought with all the talent they supposedly have, I thought they were kind of soft last year. That they struggled to win games at Vanderbilt. They barely beat Arkansas. I'm talking about 2024, but I just didn't think this team was that loaded. They lost a lot of their real playmakers from last year's team. I didn't even know about this Niblett guy who's the punt returner. If it wasn't for him, they'd be .500 right now. So I said it in the opening show of the starting lineup season. We were doing who's going to be the biggest bust. Case said Clemson, and I said Texas, and we were both right because that's two of the And I love Sarkisian this week when a reporter said, well, how do you, you know, that was really a bad loss on Saturday night. He says, you know, how are you coping with the disappointment of the season? He goes, who's saying it's a disappointment? I am so proud of the resiliency of this team and how well we've played through all kinds of injuries and adversity. Gee, Steve, nobody has that to deal with ever in a season. They were picked to be the national champion by all the idiots who drank the cool Arch Manning Kool-Aid, and they've got 3 wins. I said before the year I saw 5 potential losses. They avoided one with Oklahoma because Mateer wasn't 100%, but I said they'd lose at Florida, at Athens, and they would lose at Notre Dame, or at Ohio State, I'm sorry, and I said Texas A&M and Oklahoma are huge rivalry games. So it's played out just like I thought it would, and I just think this team is soft. I don't think Sarkisian really understands the mission here, that this team was supposed to be a contender, and he's talking about, you know, they're doing great being .500 in the SEC.
Kai, I'm going to kill you if you ask him about Texas again. Please do not ask him about Texas again. Do not do that.
I have some thoughts on that.
I know you do. By the way, Alabama 50.5 against Eastern Illinois. Auburn, before the Iron Bowl, is 27.5. The biggest line of this weekend is A&M. They're favored by 54.5 against Samford. According to AI, Case, what is the biggest point spread in college football history?
Well, that's tough for me. I don't even dabble in these FBS versus FCS games, so I didn't even know those lines till you said it.
But yeah.
I would guess that at some point, one of the really good FBS teams probably had to play like a low level FC. I seem to remember Florida State the year they were really good.
They were, I think they were
Savannah State. It was like 70. Yeah,
I think it was 70-8, and they covered that game. According to AI, 1916, Georgia Tech defeated Cumberland 222-0, which is still the biggest.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But they were favored by 105 in that game.
Well, I noticed last night, just flipping through when I got home, LSU, it just jumped off the page. And then I realized it was women's basketball. LSU was a 61.5-point favorite last night against Alcorn State. They won 112-49. So if you had Alcorn State plus 61.5, you lost because they lost by 63.
Hey, I got a useless Tony Curry fact for you. I do not know this for a fact, so it's a useless Tony Curry assumption. What is the team that had the largest spread ever to lose straight up?
Wow.
It might have been beaten, but UNLV, I think in 2015,
lost. Howard, right?
Howard, sure was. I think they were like a 48-point favorite. That was the biggest of the time.
I'm sitting here looking at it right now. It showed up, I think, 45.5-point underdog. So they lost 44.
Major college, and it was a conference game.
Oh, wow. I have no idea.
Chase, you got to know this.
I think UNLV Howard's the right answer, is it not?
Well, Howard's not major college.
A conference game?
Sorry. That's what I didn't know for sure, but this one.
Yeah.
Stanford. USC was a 42-point favorite.
Oh, I should know that. Stanford And that supposedly might have that was in the heart of the Harbaugh-Carroll rivalry. I should have known that for sure. Yeah, you're right.
How about that?
Maybe like 2009, 2010, I think that was.
He was at Stanford, right?
Yeah, it was before they broke out at Stanford. It was when they were still terrible. It might have been his first or second year at Stanford.
Yeah, I remember that game. I didn't know the line was that prolific. Good grief.
All right, Case, let's go around the horn here, man. Give me some of your big plays. I know you said you didn't play a ton of college football, but we'll get into some pro stuff coming up here in a few minutes. We do the majority of our pro stuff on Fridays. We're on the air, by the way, Tuesdays and Fridays, 10 a.m. Central Time. And special thanks, of course, to the Coastal Digital Sports Network and Angel, his entire crew, do a bang-up job. SR1029, The Game, and, of course, on Tony Curry, Radio Audacity, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Go, baby. Give me some other games you're liking college-wise, Case Kiefer.
I like talking about the games tonight, I guess. I laid both the favorites. The UNLV line hasn't really moved. You can still get it the same. Don't necessarily love it, but I thought it should be a little bit higher. I've been kind of higher on the Rebels all year, though. Defensively, they're terrible. I know Kai was looking at the over. I just haven't played a whole lot of totals. I do know I saw it move down a little bit yesterday. So, you might be able to get a little bit diminished price today. That's probably fine. It seems like this should be a shootout. In a shootout, I'll just take the team with more talent and as great of a story as Hawaii is. And as much as I like seeing them winning, I just think UNLV still is like a major conference team, especially offensively. They have so many transfers and guys that you would recognize if you haven't watched them yet. So I think I'm on them tonight. And I also, this has shot up a lot. I laid 3.5 with Florida State. Now it's 6.5. It's getting a little bit tougher, but I guess just for entertainment purposes only, if you had to play that game, I would lean FSU. It seems like they've kind of got it together the last 3 weeks. I know they lost to Clemson, but that game was a little closer than the score. They blew out, I think, the other two teams. And
What is a bigger surprise, that FSU is 5-5 or North Carolina's 5-5?
I would have to say FSU. I'd have to say FSU. I felt like the FSU thing could go in a lot of directions. I'm just thinking personally, me at the beginning of the season, I kind of wanted nothing to do with Florida State. I don't think I bet them over or under win total. I was just kind of like, they could be great or they could strike out again. Or North Carolina, I was pretty definitively on the under. I was not a fan of the Bill Belichick and Michael Lombardi approach from day one. So I'm not really surprised to see it peter out, maybe this bad at North Carolina, but I'm surprised things got this bad at Florida.
Am I mistaken? Obviously they're playing the Wolfpack later on this evening, so that's one of your games. What else you got?
Let's see, college wise. Since we're talking about these huge spreads, I usually don't do this because Georgia has been the team that never spreads, but Charlotte is like
so bad.
Charlotte's historically bad, one of the worst FBS teams ever. If UMass wasn't around this year, we'd be writing stories and talking about how bad Charlotte is. Luckily, UMass has shielded them a little bit from that. But I think if you're using any kind of power ratings or any statistical analysis, I made this line 50, and I've heard other people say that about it too. So I think you're getting a discount because of Georgia's past not caring. I feel like they could not try at all and win this game by 45. So the big favorite of the week for me, I did lay the 43 with Georgia. Yeah, I already mentioned the Wisconsin one. I probably should stop betting this team because I have a lot of exposure on them to win the AAC, and I've kind of stuck by them through the thick and the thin. But I laid 8 with Tulane going to Temple. You look at Temple, they've been surprising this year. That they've been pretty good, but that's mostly because they've held their own against teams like at the bottom of the AAC. The teams that are evenly matched or they're better than, they've just kind of been able to grind out. Every time they've stepped up in class, they've just gotten absolutely blown out. And I think this Tulane game steps is counts as stepping up in class as well. Obviously, all the playoff graphics, you're seeing Tulane in right now, so I think that's going to give them a little bit of a boost. I just haven't liked what I've seen against Temple when they've actually played someone good, and I think Tulane's good, so I laid it with Tulane.
Kip, who you liking here? What's jumping at you, man?
I've got a list of a couple, so I won't spend a lot of time on them. I'll just kind of rip through them. I'm high on Northwestern again this week. They finally gave me my first winner on the show in a long time. I was in a real drought, and they came through with flying colors against mighty Michigan last week. Another overhyped bunch of glorified cows. But I do like Northwestern playing Minnesota, which I consider one of the Big Ten's premier bottom feeders. They're only giving them 3.5 points, so I like them. I think USC sticks with Oregon. Remember, I'm the only one on the show that liked USC at Notre Dame. They end up losing by 10. The line was right around there. I never knew if they covered or didn't.
It depends when you bet it. They were open 9.5, and then I think it closed like 11.5. So it was really right in the middle.
Yeah, because I stood up for them at that time because I thought they would play well in that game. And I can't believe that's basically the same line, because I think going to Notre Dame is a lot tougher assignment than Oregon. I'm not high on this Oregon team. I've still got them in my top 12, but I just don't think that they're that good. And I think USC, I don't think, you know, win the game outright, maybe. But if they do, they probably swap places and knock Oregon out and put themselves in right now, the way I've got it figured. But I like that one a little bit, taking the points. I think Kentucky's really kind of got it together right now. And you guys know I don't like Kentucky or Mark Stoops at all. But Vanderbilt is hanging by a thread. They have to win this game. Kentucky's getting double-digit points. Boley, the young freshman, is playing really well for the Wildcats. I think that's going to be a competitive game, so that's too many points. Real quick, too, Oklahoma State's the worst team on earth. I can say Texas sucks. I don't even know what adjective I'd use to describe Oklahoma State. UCF is not a good team, but when they're in Orlando, they handle their business pretty much. They're giving 14 to the worst team on earth. I got to take them. Let's see. We've got Georgia Tech and Pitt. Tech's got to win this game to stay relevant. It's only 2.5. I think it's a toss-up, but I'd have to lean for the Yellow Jackets. This is the team that really intrigues me, and I don't know what you guys' opinion of them are. Washington State is a really interesting team. They've got some pretty impressive performances on their resume. I think they're only like 4-5 or about 500. But on one two-week road trip earlier in the year, they went to Ole Miss, and clearly it was a game Ole Miss was looking ahead because they were going to Georgia the next week. But remember, they only lost 24-21 in Oxford. And then they go the next week to Virginia, who's been a quality team this year and is a contender for the ACC. They only lost that game 22-20. Washington State recently played Oregon State. They're going to play again, by the way, on the last game of the season. They have to play them twice because nobody would schedule them. That was the only two teams in the Pac-12. But they only lost 10-7 in that game. I just think this game at James Madison intrigues me. James Madison's been killing everybody, but all the little teams from whatever Southern Conference or whatever the hell they're in. Washington State's getting 13.5, have shown they can play on the road. I'm just kind of intrigued by that. I think this is actually a real opponent for James Madison instead of the teams they usually play. So I like Wazoo in that game a little bit. And my last one on my list here is I think South Florida is going to be in a really bad mood. I know UAB is the official program of this program. Everybody here loves the Blazers. Sure. 21 and a half. I think South Florida is going to kill UAB on Saturday.
I think they will too. And I'll start right there. They took on North Texas. Obviously they just had way too many turnovers. They had three turnovers that game against North Texas. You can't do it. Give them 50 spot. They'll do it again against South Florida. They don't have to turn the football over. They fumbled the ball twice on their one. So that game, I mean, we can sit there and rose color the glasses all we want, but UAB continues to make mistakes. And then, of course, I had the AD goes, yeah, but we only had three penalties. And I'm like, okay, well, continue to silver that line, my friend. As you look for, hey, that's what you got to do as an athletic director right now for a UAB squad. So I agree with you. I think 21 and a half is probably not enough. If you get a chance, go down there and support your Blazers. Tickets are scratch. You just walk in the door. 2 o'clock. Weather's supposed to be fantastic tomorrow. So check out your Blazers now protected their last home game. And by the way, 26 seniors will be calling it quits tomorrow. We don't remember. We always think about, you know, senior days. And I just had a remarkable discussion with Mark about this. These kids have been taking snaps since Pop Warner days, since like they're 5, 6, 7 years old, particularly in the state of Alabama. And for most of these guys, they'll never see a snap again. In any type of reputable game, because they're not going to be playing pros. Less than 1% do that. So kudos to every senior who's got a senior weekend. I mentioned USC and Oregon. I think they're going to get up and down the field. I think they just weren't ready to bust out. And offensively, two teams in the top 10 get up and down. I like the over 59.5. Brandon Sorsby for the Cincinnati Bearcats threw half of his picks last week in one game. He's got 4 picks, 22 touchdowns. Cincinnati is 5-0-1 against the spread at home. I've been saying that all year long. They play fantastic at home. They're 5-1, and they're coming off a couple of weird games, including the game against Boston College. I think they're going to get it done at home. They're catching 2.5 against BYU. I think that's one of those stinky, smelly fish like Cincinnati at home. And then the third leg of that bad boy is I'm on Haynes King too. I haven't really seen a lot of Georgia Tech this year. They're only giving up 2.5. Pitt's already lost 3 games. They got nothing to play for. So I like the Yellow Jackets to get that done. Yellow Jackets, Cincinnati Bearcats, buy it up at 3, over 59.5, 3-team, 1.5 parlay. I think it's going to get it done. Kai, who you like?
I totally disagree that Pitt doesn't have anything to play for. They win the next 2 games.
Yeah, because Narduzzi said they can get the championship.
They don't for me. They have nothing to play for me. All right, that's what I'm saying. That's why I like them. Continue.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, well, I do. I love the over tonight. I love UNLV's team total over. The fighting Timmy Changs versus fighting Dan Mullins. I think it's going to be a high scoring. I can't wait to watch it. I don't care what anybody says. I'm 54 years old, so I can say this. It's going to be an exciting Friday night watching that football game. I don't know. I mean, I want to see the status of Reed to see if he's going to play for Pitt or not. Georgia Tech up front, I like. I do like a lot of things about Pittsburgh, though. If I was going to play the game, I'd have to play Georgia Tech, although 2.5, I just don't know. I'm going to, as far as that USC-Oregon game you guys talked about, I don't think it's going to be high scoring, even though Mavie is got the number one QBR in the country overall. I just think Oregon's defense is better than a lot of people think. I think USC's defense has been playing okay. I just think with that game and everything going on, I actually think it's going to be kind of lower scoring than, 59.5, but I've been wrong before. I think Oklahoma kills Missouri if Fribula doesn't play. I really do. I love it if I'm under 6, but it's a big key there for Oklahoma. Their big 2 wins, they're +8 in turnover margin and in their last 6 games, and in their losses, they're -4. So it really depends on how they take care of the ball, but I just can't. I do not see, and maybe I'm wrong. I know a lot of people really love Amon Hardy and he's a good running back. I do not see him tearing up Oklahoma. And if they jump and they're shutting down, there's 7, 8 men in the box to shut him down. I like Oklahoma to win that game by more than a touchdown. I want to bet Notre Dame, but I can't play that at 35.5. I do think Texas over their team total 34.5 against Arkansas. I really think the 4 of us could score 5 touchdowns against Arkansas. Just being completely honest, I love BYU over their team total of 28. Cincinnati plays okay at home. I think Cincinnati has nothing to play for, if you will, for me. I really do. And I think BYU is kind of mad. And up front in the trenches, Cincinnati cannot hang with BYU, in my opinion. So, you know, there's some of those. And I would be remiss. I've already played BYU in college basketball against Wisconsin today. I got it at 4. It is all the way up to 5 as of 30 minutes ago, right before we got on. Some of those. Well, there's still 6 or 7 other games that, you know, that we really haven't talked about. I would love to see everybody's opinion. I can't do it. I cannot bet Mark Stoops. I want to agree with y'all. The line's now at 8.5.
Oh, is that low? Yeah.
But it just – Mark Stoops. I can't bet on him.
I'm going to enrage everyone. I think Mark Stoops has done a good job this year. I'm sorry. Don't tell him. Look at their operating costs. They have by far the lowest budget in the SEC. They're spending no money. This 3-game streak, I think we kind of got to rethink them a little bit. I'm not saying I love the guy or anything, but I'm kind of tipping my hat to Kentucky. Their win total was as low as 3.5. They're already at 5. I think we kind of got to.
I mean, when I actually give them credit, you know they're getting something done.
Yeah, I was tempted at 10. I had UK plus 10 ? And it moved. I'm not going to chase it. I still think it would be Kentucky or pass for me, but I'd have to get the 10.
Yeah, man, I think the same thing. To get back to your Oregon game, and I certainly looked at that when you were talking about the over-under and it kind of being a slow game because Oregon's only given up 13, 16, 7, 10. They gave up 30 to Indiana, which obviously is a top 12 team. My feelings is Oregon's not a Big Ten team, and neither is USC. And they've played each other 3 times the last 5 years, and they've gone over 80 points in each of those games. I just want those two teams get together. I think they probably hate seeing Iowa's and the Northwesterns and these trudging in the mud Nebraska teams that like to win games 13-10. Maybe they like to get up and down the football field. I think offensively speaking, they're both licking their chops, and that's the reason why I took the over, despite the fact that Oregon has gone under 4 of their last 5 games. They're 4-5 over-unders on this particular season, so I can certainly see that as well. I agree with you on Kentucky, and that was one of the plays I had, the under 3.5 games. I think Stoops can stay. They will build a statue of him in Kentucky. I can't believe I'm saying that, but they will build a statue of Mark Stoops in Kentucky. That will happen.
What's his SEC record again?
It's terrible. It's terrible, but Kentucky and Vanderbilt, they've always been bottom feeders, and they're happy with him, man. All they care about is basketball in Kentucky. That's the only thing they give a shit about. They don't care about football at Kentucky. They don't. They just want to win 5 games. He's had his big upset this year. They're happy. They tore down the goalpost. That's all they need to have. That was great because all of the prospects in their basketball program were actually at that game, so they got to see Kentucky tear down the things. They're all about it. All they care about is Kentucky basketball at Kentucky. They don't give a shit about their football team. And, yeah, they're getting it done on strings and needles, man. I mean, they have absolutely no budget. They don't even have a collective. Kentucky's the only school in the SEC that does not have a collective. Every other team has its own outside source collective. UAB hell's got a collective. Kentucky doesn't have a collective. They can't pay anybody in their football team. So I agree with you. I think anytime you can get it done with shits and mirrors, man, you're getting it finished for sure.
And they're the only program whose quarterback they gave a couple million dollars to did a video with all of it in cash in his hand singing a ridiculous rap song.
So yeah, baby.
Got that going for him, too.
There you have it.
Jake Calzada Express.
All right. Other games. We talked Ohio State, Rutgers, Miami, Virginia Tech, I think that's an interesting game, 17.5. We mentioned Missouri, Oklahoma, guys all over Oklahoma. Louisville, SMU is a sneaky good game. Two teams that obviously are trying to play for their postseason lives. South Florida, UAB, we talked about Arkansas, Texas, USC, Oregon. I'm just going through some of the games. Notre Dame. By the way, I want to ask because Case has been on Notre Dame every single week. I think he took 1 week off. 34.5 against Syracuse. Is that enough?
I didn't bet it. I mean, Syracuse is so bad. I think I could, if you absolutely made me make a bet on the spread right now, I still would go Notre Dame, especially because every Saturday, just a torrent of money comes in on them. Someone way smarter and richer than me likes them even better than I do. So I would still guess this closes higher, but I don't know. Even if you're going for style points, I don't think you're going to be rushing to win by 40 at the end. So I sat this one out.
And I did want to get back and I checkmarked this game, the Tennessee-Florida game. And I know that Kip has got a big play on the Florida Gators. This is the same Florida Gators squad that lost to Kentucky, who he
lost. That's the understatement of the year. They forefooted.
They scored 7 points. I mean, it was just an ugly ass game.
38-7. What a disaster.
That was if their coach wasn't fired yet, we're getting new fired coach game is what that was right there. But you know, if Billy Napier wasn't already gone, I would have thought, what the hell is going on here? So I don't
know. Kentucky's defense is better than Tennessee's, though.
Yeah, well,
but I'm telling you, I watched heavily last week at Ole Miss, and they played their ass off. I mean, it's what a schizophrenic team. They play when they feel like it. They've got players.
Well, I hope they don't show up tomorrow as a Tennessee fan.
Well, there's a good chance of that. That's what you got going for you as a Tennessee fan. Florida might just not clock in for some reason. So, I like to live on the edge. This is like the fifth time that I've picked a Florida game this year, and so far it hasn't worked out very well, except for Texas, who sucks.
Well, I would say this. If Tennessee loses down in the swamp, and like you said, they've only won there twice in the last 50 years, what kind of season has it been for the Tennessee Volunteers? I know it's been a bummer. It's been a down a bit. You've been pretty straightforward about how you feel about this team losing your quarterback going into the season. What's your thoughts on what you've seen from the Tennessee Volunteers, and what do you think is going to come back for next season?
It's been pretty much right on cue for the way that I thought it was going to go. I had under 8.5. If they lose to this game or Vandy, it's under 8.5. I had them before the season losing this game at Florida, no matter what happened, because of the fact that it's at Florida, which would give them 8 wins. Heupel's had to deal with a lot of injuries, but he's got to do something. And Tennessee fans are just like all other fans. I mean, they're stupid. They get in their head. I mean, people were calling for Heupel's head after a couple of losses this year. Tim Banks has done a great job with defenses in the past, but people have to understand that Tennessee does not have – I mean, they've literally played all year without their starting two cornerbacks.
Yeah.
And they've had all kinds of injuries on the line. I know everybody has injuries, but they're not deep enough yet, and Heupel has not had enough good, strong – I mean, and to get a top 15 recruiting class nowadays means nothing. It absolutely means nothing. If you're not top five, you're not dominating. And then you have to also add in the transfer portal. And yes, I would take Joey Aguilar all day and twice on Sunday over Nico. And I think that's been proven. And it's pretty crazy because I do know that Tennessee, it is official. They are going after Sam Leavitt to bring him in next year. And I'm saying they're probably going to, from what I'm hearing, they're probably going to offer him somewhere around $2.5 million to $3 million. I think he's probably going to be one of the quarterbacks in the portal that is the most sought after. Just an opinion. I don't think he's great. I think he's done some good things at Arizona State. I don't think he's great, but nobody would have thought Joey Aguilar would come in and do the things he's done. And if not for really, really bad interceptions, Tennessee might be, you know, sitting at 9 wins right now, or at least, you know, a couple more. So I'm not going to say it's a failed season, but it's not a super successful season, because I think if you are one of the top 10 winningest programs in the country, then you have to go every year and be competing for the college football playoffs. And I don't care what anybody says, Tennessee is not and was not a college football playoff team at any time during this year.
Yeah, well, if they had a field goal kicker, they would have beaten Georgia. And then without the 99-yard pick six, the Alabama game may have been a whole different thing. So if I was a Tennessee fan, I would be agonizing over those two plays. If just one of them had gone the other way, Tennessee would still be in the discussion.
Oklahoma, they could have easily won Oklahoma, too. I mean, I think they're going to end up probably exactly what I expected. I might even said it on the show. I thought they'd be 8-4. But I think really on paper, just how they project, like power rating-wise, I think they're a little better than I expected. I don't think it was a bad year.
Yeah, two horrible turnovers and it turned the Oklahoma game. That's a good point.
They haven't beat anybody with a winning record, I don't think, this year.
Well, I hadn't heard the Sam Leavitt thing, but I think that would be a really good get. I am pretty high. I like Sam Leavitt a lot better than Joey Aguilar.
Look at Howard and Riley Leonard last year. Those were quarterbacks kind of on that level, and they both did pretty well, played the championship game.
Tennessee 7-3 on the season. Obviously, Florida 3-7. Flipped that around, a 4-point game right now. And funny enough, both teams are 3-6 against the spread. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. I heard a funny rumor that Kalen DeBoer will take the Penn State job if he loses to Auburn. Any thoughts on that? I can't imagine him leaving Alabama to take Penn State unless he knows he's going to get fired. I don't think they're going to fire him even if he loses to Auburn.
Unless Saban has told them all, hey, I want to come back. No. I mean, because let's be honest, and I am not.
It would be a horrible loss. It would be an absolute abomination if he loses to Auburn this year. When you lose to a team that's fired their coach, that's the worst kind of loss you can have. It doesn't get any worse.
Happened in Jordan-Hare.
I know.
Against Georgia, and against Alabama. Historically.
Tank, I'll say two words. Tank Bigsby and the Grave Digger. That's the last two visits to Auburn.
I always have to preface this by saying I hate to even reference them, but I get the press releases, and sometimes it's interesting. I don't think it means anything, because if you have a totally clean account, if you've lost a ton of money, you can maybe bet $250 on this. So it's not exactly an efficient market. But it did raise my eyebrows this week. I saw that Kalen DeBoer's odds to be the next Penn State coach market went from 50-1 to 12-1. So I guess someone's put a few bucks on him going to Penn State. Again, this is not a market like a college football game where you can get down hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I think it's pretty efficient. I think it's just for entertainment purposes mainly. But it's funny this came up because that did raise my eyebrow. I said, wow, really? Someone likes Kalen DeBoer to Penn State.
It's kind of Case, with all these openings, is there any Dan Mullen rumblings out there? Is he shopping, or is he getting interest, or is he going to be back at UNLV?
He was in a lot of rumblings when some of the jobs first came open, and he told everyone that would listen. He put it on Twitter. He went on every show and said, I am not going anywhere. I will be at UNLV next year. I promise. I think some Arkansas show was I don't remember. There's some hilarious. There's like two old guys in Arkansas talking about how they need to hire Dan Mullen. And he opened his press conference saying, y'all need to hire Gus Malzahn. I have no interest in Arkansas. I have less than any interest. So I don't remember. But he's told everyone that he's not going anywhere. So I said it at the time, and I still kind of believe him. I don't think he's going to be at UNLV forever or anything. But I like
Dan Mullen.
I don't think he's leaving this offseason.
I liked him in Florida. I just like him. I just think he's a good trainer.
If he goes to a bigger program, he really needs to go all with the general manager approach. Just because by everything you hear about what went wrong at Florida and kind of what I've heard around here is he just doesn't want to, he does not want to do the recruiting. He wants to call, nope. he wants to run the team, maybe be involved with some of the play calling. But even here, they had a great recruiting class. It's because somehow they got a lot of money, and it literally is just like he just threw it at the most talented players. They're still not, this isn't really a cohesive team. It doesn't really seem like they have guys that fit the system. I think if he goes to another big school, he just needs someone to handle all the stuff and let him be the coach. I think he could work if that's the setup.
He just wants to coach him up. That's what he wants to do. Yeah.
Tony, before we go ahead, I want to know if anybody watched the debacle of the Fighting Butch Joneses last night and the horrible clock management at the end to cost me money on Arkansas State. That is what I get for betting on a team coached by Butch Jones. But yes. Did anybody see that debacle of a coaching?
I was on the pros last night watching that debacle from the Bills.
I was out to eat, and it was on a little TV, but it didn't have sound, and I was more watching the Bills game. So I saw what was happening, but not in any detail.
I did see where one Josh Allen was 8-0 on Thursday night games, by the way, and 7-1 against the spread. I think it was a 6-point spread, and they end up actually got down to 4.5, and obviously they lost outright 23-19 to the Texans. That's going to move
us into 8 times.
Yeah, I know it, right? And listen, when Texas runs the football, good night. I mean, to hold the Bills under 20 points period is always good, but when you got a good running game, you can do that. What are your thoughts on some pro stuff? Pittsburgh, Chicago, Minnesota, Green Bay, Indy, Kansas City. Philly, Dallas, I just saw something. Where's more pressure on Dak Prescott or Jalen Hurts? It's an interesting question. Tampa Bay, L.A., got some good matchups in the pros this weekend. Kip, what's jumping out at you here on Sunday afternoon?
Well, how soon they forget? I hear Jalen Hurts is being assailed by management up there, that they're not satisfied with his progress. His progress was pretty good this previous January. Talk about pulling the plug a little prematurely. I know he's not consistent. But
he won a Super Bowl, did he not? Did Jalen
in January? Yeah,
exactly.
Not only won, he was the MVP.
That's like telling your wife you're tired of her after 6 months of marriage.
I read that this week that they're being very public in their discussion that they don't like the inconsistency of Jalen Hurts. But go ahead and move on, guys. I'm sure there's a lot of great quarterbacks out there. I don't know about that game. Dallas can score. I don't put any stock in the Raiders joke from earlier this week. The Cowboys are back home, but
But I do like a team. I was impressed, speaking of the Cowboys, I liked how the Arizona Cardinals went in there and dismantled them a couple of Monday nights ago. Since then, they've been on the road at Seattle, and I forgot who they played last week. They're back home against the Jaguars, who I think are kind of schizophrenic. I'm not real high on that team. The Cardinals are a 2.5-point dog, I think, at home. Is that right?
Three now.
So, color me ridiculous, but Brissett's done a pretty efficient job. I think they're ready to move on from Kyler Murray. I don't think Brissett's very good, but I like the Cardinals in this game. I don't think the Jaguars are really that quality of a team. The last time they were on the road, they blew about a 20-point lead to the Texans in the fourth quarter. I just got a couple other games. The schizophrenic, speaking of schizophrenic on the bad side, I think the Falcons have lost like 5 in a row. They finally get a break and play a team that they're comparable to. Right when you completely give up on the Falcons, they always win a game. They're at the Saints. I think that they will beat the Saints here because I think they're about the worst team in the league. And the Chiefs have got to have it this evening. They're playing the Colts. Indiana Jones, I know, Kai's got a shrine to him built in his living room. But that's a pretty skimpy line that I imagine preseason would have been more like 8.5. It's only 3.5 last time I looked. It's probably gone up. But I think the Chiefs win this game. They have to win at Arrowhead. They can't lose this game.
Kai, what you like NFL-wise? I'm sitting here looking at some of the lines, too. And the 49ers are a team that I have not jumped on at all this year. And every time I look up, they're winning football games, although they've gone back and forth, wins, losses, the last 7 weeks. They're 7-4 offensively speaking. You know what they have. They're 6-5 against the spread. They're only giving up a touchdown to the Panthers, who are 6-5. Just a couple other games. What are you looking at?
I've already hammered Philly's team total over 25.5. It's gone up to 26. Because I just think there's going to be points scored in this game. I know Philly plays really slow, takes clock and all that. But Dallas' defense, and since I'm saying this, I'll probably stand up and, hold them to 6 points. But Dallas' defense sucks.
They're terrible.
There's just no two ways about it. I'm liking that. I like Detroit. I think they lay the hammer to the Giants this week. I got it at 10. I think it's 10.5 still looking at stuff. I like Green Bay over their team total against Minnesota just because Green Bay's at home. Even though it hurts me to do it without – I can't remember the tight end's name that got hurt because I think he was their best player. Really looking at that. And there's no way I used to never bet against Patrick Mahomes. Well, right now I am not betting against Indiana Jones. I'm going to put the shrine right over here. Went off, just so you know. But
light the candle.
Yeah, so not a ton that I'm just jumping on yet in the NFL because I've been so enamored with college basketball, and then the NBA Cup resumes tonight. Also, nice slate of NHL. So yeah, I'll get on to the NFL later in the day.
All right, your Colts 8-2, 6-4 against the spread so far, and yeah, that's going to be an interesting game.
It's not my Colts because it's actually my team's biggest rival because I'm a Titans fan. Period. I have to pick another team every year since the Titans suck.
I got you. Case, what do you got for pros on Sunday?
Yeah, I keep wanting to say that I'm in on the Indiana Jones thing, and I just think the market is insane. I mean, the last 2 weeks, the guy threw 4 picks against the Steelers. They had to take overtime to beat the Falcons, which are in duct tape right now. He practiced limited the last 2 days with a calf injury. They're saying it's nothing, but I've heard that before. It's nothing, and then it can be something. You don't mess with these calf injuries of Achilles. I hate this kind of analysis. I've probably bet against them a lot of times because of it, but you can't ignore the Chiefs when they've been in these high leverage situations just seem to come through. I can't believe now it's like split on the board 3 or 3.5. I mean, I didn't want to get involved in this game. When it touched 3, I fired on the Chiefs. So to break the Kip tie there, I'm with Kip. I fired on the Chiefs. Is it possible?
I didn't say I was betting on him. I said I wouldn't bet against him.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. It's not my biggest bet of the week or anything, but that is the most recent bet I made just because I never thought it would get to three. In fact, when it opened, I almost fired. One place here opened 4.5, and I thought that was too high. I was going to take the Colts plus 4.5, but I just – the torrent of money they've taken is a little too much to me. So I went Chiefs minus 3 in that one. My biggest bet of the week is one you mentioned. I laid it. I laid 6. Now it's 7. I would still get 7 just before 7.5. I laid it with the 49ers. The betting market's really only upgraded the Niners like a half a point or so with Brock Purdy coming back in for Mac Jones. Maybe Brock Purdy, I guess, is my Indiana Jones for Kai. I think Brock Purdy's so underrated and so good and been incredible and doesn't get any of the credit I feel like he deserves. I just say, well, it's just the Kyle Shanahan system. It's plug and play. No. I kind of take exception to that. We've seen the Kyle Shanahan system with bad quarterbacks, and they haven't put up the production they did with Purdy. Now, Mac Jones was good. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I think he's more like a 2 or 2.5 point upgrade than like a half point upgrade. So I'm just high on the 49ers offense. Defensively, they're so beaten up, it's hard to see them making a run or anything. But offensively, I think they can play with anyone in the NFC. So I'm on the 49ers on that one. I guess I'm on both favorites in the primetime games because I also laid it with the Rams hosting the Buccaneers. Like half the Buccaneers team didn't practice yesterday with some kind of illness that's going through. I know illness, we don't usually put a whole lot of stock in, and who knows if it'll be by Sunday, but I feel like that's got to count for something. And I already leaned to the Rams on this game. I had already bet them. This just kind of strengthens my resolve. They're like they're the Notre Dame of the NFL. I feel like they take money every single Sunday. Someone just loves the Rams, and they've come through for them. I mean, they've covered more times than not. I know I was on Seattle last week, and Seattle did get the cover. I actually come out of that game feeling better about the Seahawks, believe it or not, because they had everything go wrong, minus 4 turnovers, and they had a field goal to win at the end of the game. So I still don't think the Rams are like way better than the Seahawks, but I do think they're way better than the Buccaneers, and I just don't know what shape the Buccaneers are going to be in. So I laid it with the Buccaneers there. I'm not 100% putting a lot into the Raiders game because obviously the Raiders are terrible, but I don't know. Quinnen Williams looked pretty dang good. I mean,
he did. He was surprising.
Yeah, we would have said he's one of the best defensive players in the league, you know, 2 years ago. He was stuck in that terrible Jets situation. He just dismantled the Raiders. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that the Cowboys defense is very much improved with him and Logan Wilson. I still don't like the process. I mean, you basically got him and a first round pick, I guess, for Micah Parsons. I still don't think that was a good trade just because of positional value. You want the great edge rusher when you put it all together. But I did bet the Eagles here on a look ahead. I laid 3.5 last week, and I hate it now. I would be more on the Cowboys side. I wish I could get out of it. I can't. Maybe I can watch and hope the Eagles score early and bet some back on the Cowboys. But I feel like the love for the Eagles has gone a little overboard. I mean, the Lions, I love the fourth down decisions. I think you want to optimize your chance to win games, and I think Dan Campbell does that time and time again. But sometimes it doesn't work out. They didn't get any of those fourth downs on Sunday Night Football. That's basically why they lost that game. I mean, the Packers game was just dreadful. Neither team can move the ball. So I'm definitely a sell right now on the Eagles long term, and I don't want to lay any points with the state of this offense. So I'm on the Eagles officially, but I'd love if there's a way I can get out of it. Maybe if it could the Kai Sportsbook give me a Cowboys plus 4? I'm joking.
You'd probably give it to you, wouldn't you? You'd give him 4, wouldn't you? Call him after the show.
Yeah, negotiate. Case, do you get to attend the Raiders-Browns game this week? I know you've got to be psyched for that.
You know what's funny is I actually am probably looking forward to this game a little bit more than the last few, just because I feel like I'm morbidly fascinated to see if something ridiculous is going to happen. Shedeur Sanders looked so bad coming in. He was linked to the Raiders for like a year and a half because of Tom Brady. He said he wanted to come here. It would just be so Raiders if Shedeur Sanders looks good and beats them up. It's going to be awful, but for some reason, I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing the train wreck this time.
Well, there has to be
a very strong 4 of 16.
Yeah, performance. Fantastic. Yeah, fantastic. Is there any Pete Carroll disgruntlement? There's got to be a little bit of mumbling.
I mean, there should be. I might write about this if you want to read. I've been very critical of Pete. I actually started to feel bad before the Monday night game that maybe I'd been a little too critical and gone a little too hard. And then you saw what happened Monday. Yeah. But
you said you laughed out loud here a couple times.
The big debate here is whose fault it is, if it's Pete Carroll, John Spytek, the general manager, Geno Smith, Chip Kelly. To me, like, this is just Pete Carroll's mess through and through. Like, why is Geno Smith's been absolutely terrible But why is he here? Pete Carroll. Chip Kelly has been a disaster, but why is he here? Pete Carroll. I think the GM should get off unscathed. They've changed coaches so much that I think they'll do a couple of token firings. Like Chip Kelly's probably on his last legs. I think they'll fire some other guys and give Pete Carroll a pass. And I'd be pretty surprised if he's not back next year. I really think all the dysfunction stems from Carroll. I think that the NFL has passed him by. Thought it was a terrible hire at the time. You can go back and listen on these old shows if you said it. I just don't think he matched with – I didn't think he was going to be this bad, but I didn't think he matched with what the Raiders needed. I just think because of the dysfunction of the franchise, as long as he doesn't lose this game, I think he might be around, but I do not think it was a good hire, and I think it's his mess.
Was he 72?
He doesn't have the badass persona that you need to be the Raiders coach.
Yeah, and I mean, and he's just so concerned with he said it from the beginning of the year from when he was first hired that he's going to win right away. He's going to win 10 games. He's so concerned with the here and now, and the Raiders have been bad for 20 years. They really need to devote themselves to getting these young players, taking their lumps a little bit. Like, they don't even play any of their draft picks. They have three guys on the offensive line hurt, and their third-round pick was inactive in the Sunday game. Wow. He refuses to play young guys because the only way I know how to coach is to try everything I can to win. Now, I don't know if that's a little bit of a pissing match between him and the GM, if he's saying, look at this draft class, you got me, I don't like any of these guys. But I just – you need someone with a long view. And, I mean, the NFL moves fast. I mean, it's just – I don't know. It's a whole mess.
All right, college hoops, NBA, NHL. We always leave it for the last 5-10 minutes of the show. You three guys are all over it. I know a lot of you guys love some NHL action. Any interesting games going on this weekend? I know you're talking about the college hoops too. There's been a ton of stuff. I'm not into college. I'm going to be college hoops in about a week and a half. I'm going to be all over it. But what are your thoughts on anything going on this weekend?
I know why you're not interested in college basketball, because Xavier's like the worst power conference team in the country.
And they're never bad. This is amazing.
No, the Blazers are not good. The Xavier's bad. I mean, I just I'm not.
I laid nine with Georgia today.
Case, is there a Texas Tech Purdue line? There wasn't one right before we logged on.
I bet Texas Tech +4.5 last night at the one book that had it. I saw it was down to like 3 today. I really think these are like two of the best teams in the country. So I would probably be taking points either way. A little bit tougher at 3, but yeah, I took Texas Tech +4.5. And I wasn't being mean about Xavier, just to be mean.
You're right.
I did lay 9 with Georgia today, who Georgia just plays up and down. They're playing faster than ever. So I think they're going to maximize possessions and, you know, you got to think Xavier's going to bounce back at some point, but Georgia just seems so much better than them on paper. I think that's up to 10. I would still
be Sean, the whole Sean Miller thing was such a bad idea to bring him back. And I think the coach, obviously, they got right now, has got a name to him. So obviously, I think he's going to do well from a recruiting standpoint. But I hated the fact they brought Sean Miller back just because he was their homeboy. And we know what happened in Arizona, and he's a piece of dirt. He's a piece of shit. Although he went to back to back Elite Eights.
Is he like Texas?
No, he didn't suck. He's a piece of shit.
Oh, okay. Well, that's an upgrade.
He's a POS. There will not be a Sean Miller statue outside Cintas or the Gardens or whatever they call the place. I will eat a Skyline chili dog, though, next time I go up there, and I will shear his ass on all I want. I'm still looking for Prosser or who are some of the other guys they had. See, they used to have some great coaches there, man. Dude, you're talking about, I went to college and there's like 6,000 undergrads there, and across the street in Cincinnati, it's 67,000. And they used to beat their ass every single year in the Crosstown Shootout. It was great. I love that so much. All right, guys. Great stuff, man. Have yourself a wonderful week. Go to k4wins.com, k4wins.com. Check out our website. It's fantastic. You get plays throughout the day. We change it throughout the day as well. K4wins.com. We've got everything. We're all four of us on the same side. We know it's going to be a winner-winner chicken dinner. We're pretty good shape, about 69-70% since we started this endeavor. So get on it. And special thanks again to the fine folks at Coastal and Digital Sports Network for having us on. Audacity, hoping to be on VEASAN soon enough. But we'll be all over the place. But thanks, and enjoy your weekend of college sports. Thanks, guys.
Okay, guys.
See you, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.